Blog Talk Radio.
Life, love, and wellness.
To welcome you to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. And you know, on this journey, I serve in a gladly position of your tour guide. So thank you, thank you, thank you for being a part of this life event. I am so excited you chose to join in today. So let's get this party started. You know, as we come together each week, we take time to anchor ourselves in positive energy and affirmative reading. And so for today, our special message is, there is only one God, creator of all things in life. I am free in God. God's words are written in my heart. The collective humanity is a gathering of all people from everywhere. It is each having a place worthiness. It is each contributing their uniqueness. It is the whole accepting each other without judgment. It is knowing that each person is a piece of the larger master's final artwork called humanity. And so this week going forward, our affirmation that we'll use every day is, today I am free in God. And because we choose to do so, let us honor our ancestors, all of those who have gone on before us. So silently we call out their names as we pay tribute to them with absolute love, absolute respect, and absolute honor. Today, I honor all ancestors with sincere gratitude and appreciation. We pause and we remember they are our way shore, our loved ones, and our truth. Without them, we simply would not exist. Ashe, ashe. It's all about life. It's all about love. It's all about wellness. The mission of Life, Love, and Wellness is to uplift ourselves, to truly love ourselves, and to be genuinely involved in our holistic wellness. Tonight's show is Guns Down, Enough Already, Keeping African-American Men Alive and Uplifted, the Kamau Project. After learning of her 17-year-old nephew being killed by another youngster who was just 18 years old, our expert guest, Fatima Jewel Chandler, decided it was surely time to take action. She has single-handedly created the Kamau Project, dedicated to improving youth violence by mentoring. You know, Frederick Douglass said, it is better to build strong children than men. The mentoring program she has designed brings real men together to teach boys how to become real men, because this is something that a woman simply cannot do. So, audience, you are invited to join in the discussion. All comments are welcomed, and every voice will be heard with complete acceptance, and there's no judgment on this show. So if you're not on the call, you may call in at 516-531-5787. 1-800-981-9819 and simply press 1 on your dial to let us know you want to speak on air. You're listening to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Welcome to call in and chat with us online. Call in to 516-531-9819. And if you wish to speak on the air, just hit number 1 on your dial, and it'll let me know that you want to speak on air with us.
Sandy Rogers News Reel.
I'm not sure how many of you are aware But on yesterday, October the 26th, the WHO, the World Health Organization, issued a proclamation on their research, and it says that the World Health Organization International Agency for Research on Cancer released their evaluation of the cancer risk associated with red and processed meat. The findings leaked to the press, and so it was reported. They said that your diet with eating the meat and cancer has been linked together. So it showed there's a clear and convincing link between diets high in red meat and risk for colorectal cancer. Research also shows a clear and convincing link between even small amounts of hot dogs, bacon, and other processed meats to colorectal cancer as well. There are several potential reasons that diets high in red and processed meat may be a cause for colorectal cancer. Red meats contain a compound that promotes the formation of potentially carcinogenic N-nitrosyl compounds. In addition, when red meat is cooked at high temperatures, it leads to the formation of compounds called heterocyclic amines, HCAs, and polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons, PAHs. In lab studies, these compounds cause changes in the DNA that may lead to cancer. The evidence evaluated by the AICR suggests that a modest amount of red meat in the diet does not raise colorectal cancer risk, but the analysis found that eating more than 18 ounces of cooked red meat per week increases the risk of colorectal cancer. And then they also found that it is linked to the consumption of red meat and processed meats are linked to prostate and pancreatic cancers as well. It's all over the news. If you have not heard it yet,
so you may need to
and be aware. Okay. Our topic today is guns down. Enough already. Keeping African American men alive and uplifted. Fatima proclaims it takes a village to raise a child, and today we seldom can find the village. Our children are being affected by the violence in music and the other medium sources. So our esteemed guest is Fatima Jewel Chandler, a warrior who is unafraid of being in the trenches to win the prize of victory for her cause and passion, the Kamau Project. So I'm going to read and introduce our guest with us tonight. I'm so excited that Fatima has found some time in her schedule. She is extremely active within the community and the things that she does. So I don't want to bring her on any longer. So Fatima Jewel Chandler has been a property manager for the past decade. On July the 27th of 2013, her 17-year-old nephew was killed by an 18-year-old, and that turned her family upside down. Somehow the idea came that something more needed to be done for our youth and the path of destruction many of them seem to be on. If we don't do something about it, it gets closer and closer until it hits your family. Not wanting to see other families face the lifelong devastation that the loss of a child creates, her nephew, the Kamau Project was born. Kamau means quiet warrior Swahili and now stands for Keeping African American Men Alive and Uplifted. Considering herself an unlikely candidate for speaking publicly to groups, but with the full understanding that the Creator doesn't give you a mission without arming you for the battle, Sister Jewel accepted the call and held the first Kamau Conference on July 27th, 2015, which was 1 year to the date of her nephew's death. So we welcome you, we welcome you, we welcome you, Fatima, to the show, and we just appreciate you once again for taking the time and being a guest with us tonight. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome Fatima Jewell to the call. Fatima, are you there?
Yes, ma'am, I'm here. I'm here, Sandy. Thank you very much for inviting me to be your guest and also for giving the Kamau Project a chance to get known out in the community. And actually, that Kamau Conference was done 2013, July 27th, 2014, which was a year to the death of my a year to the date of my nephew's death. And it was pretty powerful. We had about 35 or 40 youth out there. We had older men talking to young men about anger management, conflict resolution, misogyny, bullying, gangs, how to behave and stop by police. And the venue was donated, and all the speakers were volunteering their time, talent, and resources to uplift our youth and our community and ultimately our world. The speakers, we had two attorneys, a police officer, experiential speakers. But the beauty of it was just that everybody I spoke to was more than happy to become a part of it and donate their time, which just let us know that the community is ready for something like this to make a change and turn things around. So rather than leave you to make life-changing decisions in the heat of the moment, the conference provided the opportunity to discuss and explore strategies so youth could manage their feelings and differences of opinions and ordinary human conflict, and also preparation for the known societal pitfalls they face on a regular basis. So the school-to-prison pipeline is real. Racial profiling is real. The stop and frisk is real. People talk about playing the race cards, but we see it over and over that our youth are being targeted, and not only from outside the community, but from inside the community as well, because they are buying into the fact that their lives don't matter. And that's kind of what I saw when I wanted to create the Kamau Project, which I didn't do totally alone, because I want to say that although my family was really too devastated to do anything or complete any tasks, just their love and support. I mean, I just couldn't have done it without them. So I never really felt alone doing this project. But we wanted to leave a legacy for Kamau. He was really somebody special, not just because he was my nephew, but because he really was. And the project exemplifies the qualities that we knew and loved about him in the short time that we had. And just the outpouring from the community. He has a website. Well, not a website. It's Maui Shuferis, if you want to look at it, or Facebook. It's spelled M-A-U-I, and it's S-C-H-R-U-F-F-Z. And that's something that his friends came together to do independent of the family. And they still, you go there, and daily they are still posting things from 2013 on to now about Kamau. So I would say, even though he was 17 years old, that he touched so many, many lives, and that he had a successful life in spite of the fact that it was extremely short, and we get a lot of comfort from that.
Well, thank you. I'm sure that it is extremely devastating to lose a young man in the prime of his life for whatever reason, and so for to have been through violence, I'm sure just compounds of the pain and the agony of that. I did want to mention that we had Mr. David Richards, who is one of the key executives of Motivated Men in Los Angeles, was on the line with us. He did tell me he had another meeting to attend. I was my intention was to get to him before he had to leave the call, but I just wanted to let you know that he was on the call with us for the first 15 minutes or so.
Oh, wow.
So, okay.
I met him over the phone, too, and I know he's got an awesome program out in California. Is that right?
That's correct. It's a mentoring program at one of the high schools, Dorsey High School in Los Angeles, right?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah. Right. And so he wanted to support you and to let you know how much he was concerned with your project and, you know, wishing you the best. But he did, like I said, he did tell me he had another meeting to attend, but he wanted to get in. He was on the call for a short period of time. And so you say that you have the support and that this has really taken off with the number of professional individuals that you have involved with your project. So you talk also about mentoring the heads of the household, the mothers, maybe even the fathers. I'm not sure, but you were saying the single head of households. Can you tell me what that looks like in your program?
We just support them. As you mentioned before, so many families barely have a single, you know, a parent in the household, so many of us these days, because people the divorce rate is so high, and then when there is a parent in the home, that parent is away most often working. So what the mentoring program is about is giving that parent support and being there for the youth to support him as another caring adult or someone that he can turn to when no one else is around. And if the parent that's there is a female, then he has the opportunity and the benefit of having a male figure to speak to. And that was actually the inspiration for the project for me, Sandy, because my nephew really had a lot of support. He was pretty secure in who he was, and he had my brother, he had his own father, and then he also had his uncle. So he had three really good role model type men to choose from, whose characteristics he could choose from as he came into his own manhood. And I kind of see our youth, and probably the youth who shot him, as youth who don't have that. You know what I mean? They don't have that. And we have to start caring about them. If we don't, and open up our hearts to them, this is going to keep on happening if we don't, because we act like sometimes, I think, Sandy, we're too afraid of our own children, and we believe what the media says about them. And some of them maybe are, it's too late. Maybe it is too late. But a lot of them really just need somebody to reach out. And if they don't, and our youth are coming, sometimes you hear them say things like they think they're going to die in their 20s. When that's a very dangerous situation to be in, a way to feel, because if they don't care about their own lives, you know they can't care about yours. So things like this are just going to keep on happening unless more and more responsible. And I think men need to step up more. And the conference was older men talking to young men. We intentionally, you know, when I talked about it to everyone, wanted it to be men and not women leading the workshop.
Thank you. We have David is back on the line with us.
Oh,
David,
okay.
Are you there? David Richardson of Motivated Men out of Los Angeles, California.
Hi, yes, David. Sandy, I'm here. I'm going to a meeting up at Hills, and I dropped it for a second, but I heard the introduction, and I just want Jill to know, because I'm going to this meeting, I have some things I'd like to share. But you said some very profound things. One is that the African-American males in our community have to get involved with this battle. They just have to. We are the only ones that can really make a change and make a difference in these young men's lives. I'm fortunate enough with the Motivated Men, we've got 25 African-American males, some retirees, some alumni, some still working, that have committed to mentoring these young men, helping them get in college, working with the parents, because what I know a lot of people don't understand, and in our case we do, a lot of these problems exist because of what's going on in the home, and in particular with a young man being raised around nothing but women. It's a known fact that mothers are mothers, and they're the greatest in the world. But to raise a young man in today's society, there has to be a male figure there, in my opinion, and that may not be worth a quarter. So what I would like to do, Sandy, Jewel, if you don't mind, I had a commitment to this meeting, which starts at 6:30. I can get your number, and I'd be more than happy to give you a call, and we can discuss what you're doing, tell you what I'm doing, and if I can help, I'd be more than happy to.
Absolutely. You know, I met you through this program when your show was scheduled to be on. I'd love to see that.
Yeah. So I've got to go in here, and I'm really, really sorry, because this is something that needs to be discussed at every opportunity. And we will talk again real soon.
Okay. Thank
I appreciate
you,
it so much, David. Thank you.
Okay, Sandy, and I'll call you tomorrow.
Okay, sounds wonderful. Thanks, David.
And you ladies have a blessed
that
evening.
That was David Richardson. He's one of the lead individuals with Motivated Men. It's a mentoring program in Los Angeles at Dorsey High School. And just to show you the type of support that we have for individuals that are willing to step up and step out and to address this program. I remember years ago I was working with some students at Morehouse and at Spelman College, and the young man that I was working with, Jesse Hill, was putting together a mentoring program as well. And one of the young ladies, I thought, made the most appropriate statement I had ever heard. And she says, "Only a man can teach a boy how to be a man." And, you know, sometimes women get tripped up and don't feel that a man is necessary in the household or in the life of their son. And so they're deprived of that influence by a male, a strong male. And as David has said and as Jewel has also mentioned here, is that that is so important. It was a clear difference with her nephew, Kamal, and it probably was something that was lacking from the young man that committed the crime. But I think we need to take another look at that, Jewel, and as far as program, because you had quite a few professionals that participated in your event as well, correct?
I did. I had two attorneys, a police officer, experiential speakers. One was Kamal's father, and two community activists. So yeah, I had a combination, because also you want to have people out there who also have the experience, you know, of the youth who committed the crime, you know. So that way they can see, like, all aspects of it. You know, they can also see the consequences. You know, the attorney that did it for one of the workshops for us was Mallory Davis, and he does this thing called The Consequences of Thug Life, where he talks about the music and he breaks down the messages, and he's got some Tupac in there, who I think the word thug came from. If that's the way, that's kind of what I think they said in the program. I didn't catch all of it, because a lot of it was, they were talking about the music as it stands today that I'm not familiar with. But he was pointing out this letter, and it was from a rap artist who talked a lot of trash, you know, before he went into prison. Then he went into prison, and he wrote this letter to the warden. And Attorney Davis was pointing out about 15 times where he was just begging for his life. So he went from being this thug on the street kind of person to being this person who was in prison now as a consequence of what he had done, and was begging for his life, you know. So it was a really powerful message. And, yeah, we have a combination of different kinds of men, because experiential learning is very important as well as the professionals.
You know, and it's interesting to me how our young people are so heavily influenced by the media, the music, and, you know, the videos, the music videos that are created. My grandson, who's now 20, he was so impressed by that, you know, and the Big Chainz and, you know, all of that myself in, like, well, you know, I want to do some rap so that I could wear and have the kind of jewelry like that. I was like, baby, that stuff's not even real, you know. And they're caught off guard, and they're looking to imitate something that's not even real. And so
right.
we really need to be about the business of having communication with these young fellas.
I totally agree with you. Excuse me. And I think, you know, another interesting factor is that the music industry has got our youth convinced that the music has no value if it's not violent or degrading. And I don't think there's any other genre of music that makes this demand. Except the ones that is focused towards our children. That's what it seems like from where I stand. And they will kill each other essentially over nothing. So a lot of times I think, too, that we focus, or I hear other people focusing on them sagging their pants, when that's only a symptom of the problem. That is not the problem, you know.
So, exactly.
Yeah. So I read from the American Psychiatric Society, who did over 1,000 studies, and this is a big figure, but it says that by the time youth are 18 years old, they witness 2 million acts of violence. So it's not me saying it. That's a lot. But it's coming from something I saw on the Internet. And
wow.
Some of the effects of witnessing that much at their young ages is insensitivity to the humanity of others, imitating the violence that they observe, and becoming more likely to behave in aggressive and harmful ways towards others, and thinking that, and becoming numb and immune to the horror of violence, and begin to see violence as a way to solve problems. So yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot coming at them, and if they don't have anybody to help them decipher it, you know, and figure out things before they get a chance to, before they make a mistake, before they make a horrible mistake. So this youth who killed my nephew, for example, you know, he had his trial earlier this year, so now he's in jail for life. And there's just no gratification in that. It's just a lose-lose situation, you know.
Right, 2 lives lost.
2 lives ruined, exactly, yeah. So the Kamau Project, we expect to have another conference probably in 2016, and we're working on something that might even take place in Charleston, South Carolina. Also working on a website called gunsdown.net. And along with what David was saying, it's going to be a resource page in there where no matter where you are in the country, you can tap into a mentoring program. So
that's an excellent idea.
Mm-hmm.
That's wonderful. And I know we have callers that possibly could share some light on the music industry. Unfortunately, Fatima, I'm with you. I don't really know a lot of the rap and what the words are. But I know that it does have a heavy influence, and that's one thing that I'm lacking in that I need to improve, that I need to be able to relate to what it is that they're listening and not make the assumption that it's saying one thing or another, but knowing for a fact what it is. But
right.
So any
and
of
I
the
hear some, I was going to say, I hear some of the music is not, I mean, some of the music is not all bad. Sometimes it's just people relating their life stories, and we needed to listen to that, you know what I mean? Because the horror of it became glorified, but we needed to listen to the fact that our youth were really experiencing some horrors, you know, and they were expressing it through the music. So I'm not saying that all of the hip-hop or all of the rap music is that bad, but a lot of it is, and I think we need to really start paying attention to that, and it is programming and influencing them. And then, you know, so is some of the other kinds of music as well, like the hard rock and those kinds of music as well, where when you hear about somebody shooting up a school, when kids are that young, 17, 18 years old, and going out to do that, they kind of see it because some of the gangs that are as realistic as how they train soldiers to in warfare, except for in the games, the people go down and get back up. But you see all the blood and goriness and that kind of thing. And when I've read articles about kids who shot other kids in school, they all related to one of those games. And to them, in a sense, it's not real. And they don't have the real realistic version of the finality of it. And they're not able to. At 21, you know, that's when your brain is fully developed. So they're working off, you know, ingesting all of this violence and not being able to decipher it and then acting on it. And in our, you know, country also glorifies guns. So I'm going to sit back a minute and let some of your callers talk.
All right, we're going to take a short break, Fatima, and let the callers get their thoughts together and see if they have something to contribute. If not, we'll continue in this line. I know that you have so much more to share with us, and you know some of the thoughts that you had around the violence that's out here. So we're going to just take a short break. Let us catch our breath, and then we'll be right back.
Darkness no longer, a child is born. Mother shed tears of joy as baby kept his lungs. But daddy's not there where he ought to be. Somewhere in Georgia, skinning and shooting craps on his knees. Another victim born out here in the hood. And based on statistics, it really ain't all good. Welfare takes the tab, and daddy can't find, and it can't be seen, the family becomes a crime. The hunt is on, and brother, you're the prey, serving time in jail, it just ain't the way. I'm living so hard, babe, that my hair's gray. We got to make a change, it's a brand new day.
Day.
It's a new day.
A change of mind for the human race.
It's
a new day. World
of
honor, a brand new day.
It's a
change
new day.
Of mind for the human race.
Operation in flux, and it's on the way. We just marched 1,000,000+ the other day. Look, look, we all witnessed the swift. Rolling down Miss Liberty's hand, she knows the sleeping giant is no longer sleeping dead. Oh, what a fulfillment of prophecy. Let us teach the children freedom's never been free. It's okay to cry, go ahead and cry. Those tears are wet, but hope and faith be kept. It's a new day. The die has been cast, and there's no need to fear. Cause people, the answer to your prayers are here. Sister Mary, don't you weep. Tell mother not to moan. We need the love, and daddy's coming home. There's no need to worry. The time's dictated plan. Mother Earth's given birth to a brand new man. Sister, I know you're misunderstood, but hold on to your man, because the future looks good. It's a new day.
A new world order, a brand new day.
It's a new
a change
day.
Of mind for the human race.
It's
a new world
day.
Order, a brand new day.
It's
a change
day.
Of mind.
Beware of the lies and false prophecy. We are many with eyes, but don't all really see. You must be merciful, my friend, to obtain the same. So if you break the chains, don't pass the blame. We should say unto all, And I'll say it again, it's not just a win. Shake a hand, make a friend. We who are pure at heart somehow might see there's still light in the world. Come rejoice with me. It's a new day.
A new world order, a brand new day. It's a change of mind.
Of course, that was the late, great Curtis Mayfield, and I believe that was one of the sides on his last music that he did. It was called New World Order, and if you listen to the words of that, Curtis Mayfield discussed or told us about the conditioning not just happening here recently, but it had been happening. The system was created and designed that way. And so, you know, in our putting programs together and understanding the work that needs to be done and addressing those needs, we also must include how the system has been set up and the purpose behind it. We have a caller, 817-657. Would you give us your name, where you're calling from, and state your comment or concern, please?
Yes, this is William Saphir. Sandy, I just want to commend both you and Jewel for the show tonight. This is such a pressing problem with so many dimensions to it. And let me start off by saying that, Jewel, when you do your next conference, we have an organization. I call it Keep America Strong, and we will certainly reach out and partner with you in any way that we can to help support your efforts. So Sandy has all the information on it, and she can share that with you.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to take you up on that.
Yes, certainly. And I homeschooled my 7 children. And being born and raised in actually out in California, in Watts, I know the challenges that are faced in a family that has a man in the home. I was blessed. Not only did I have my father in my early years, stepfather in my later years, but even a godfather. So I had 3 men in my life. But even with that, the challenges were still great. So the efforts that aren't comparable to Pharaoh, you know, in Scripture, and that attempt when Pharaoh saw that new world order that was coming, that was promised to come into being, he set out to kill off the leadership, to kill all the male babies. And what we see happening in America today is not too far from that same scenario. There's certainly a lot of strength and leadership that comes through the female. But just by nature, the male has a more of a leading responsibility out in the society than the female. So if you want to misdirect or control the public, the masses, then a concerted attempt is necessary to kill off the leadership. And there are some things that I found helpful in raising my 7 children that I might just share, because often, even when there is some kind of a mentoring program, the mentors don't really know what to do. They're there, and that helps. Just the presence of a male presence helps. But if the male also have tools to work with, or at least some idea of how to approach such a deep problem, that certainly will go a long ways. You mentioned that by the time a child is 18 years old, that they've already seen, 2 million acts of violence?
Yes, that's right.
Well, yeah, that speaks for itself. You know, it takes courage. It takes sacrifice. But one of the things that, and it wasn't easy for my family because some of my family members really loved television. But we took the TV, it was kind of old anyway, and we threw it in the trash.
Mm-hmm.
And we went for, oh, God, I don't know, 10 years or more with no television in the house. And my children became very creative, all of them, and found many ways to express themselves. We were very active readers, and all of them were blessed to go to college. So, but it took a sacrifice, and it took some, again, this kind of strength and courage that most times will be manifested more in the male than the female, to take that kind of a stand. You know, but it doesn't necessarily have to be the man, but that's one of the tools that has to really look at be looked at very seriously. You know, limit if you don't have the strength to remove that Trojan horse out of your house, you know, then at least limit it. And be very selective with it, especially when the children are small. And then being very proactive, even in a mentoring situation, very proactive, not just waiting for things to happen. You have to create an environment that has some alternatives to it, that has some strength, some teeth. You know, that what comes to mind is, I was on Facebook and I saw one of the masters in the martial arts, and I couldn't help but reflect how important that was in my life to get involved and channel my energies, those male energies, in the martial arts in my early years. It helps to discipline. It helps to consume a lot of the energy and time and the focus. And it helps to redirect those otherwise energies that could be turned into very destructive energies in a lot of young men. There's a lot of tools. Using not only sports but music instead of just the rap music. I saw the Marching 100, the band down in Florida A&M University, which takes so much time and effort and energy and discipline. But tools have to be used in the mentoring program that can be strong enough to create another environment to occupy the time, the sensitivities, the energy, the spirit, the mind of those young males. So I just want to share some of those few points. Yeah.
I want you to know that in our mentoring program, we have an evidence-based teaching. It's like they have to take an 8-hour class. So we don't just put the mentors with the children. We give them the training that is required for them to be effective. And they put a background check as well. But I want to thank you so much for your call, and you are a real indication of how people do respond when you just put the word out. And the conference, for example, I noticed that was how it worked, where my role, maybe as a woman, it was just really to bring attention to the issue in a way that a man was inspired to respond to. And it worked because, as I said, all of the speakers donated their time. The person who gave the venue was a man. You know, he donated that. He was glad to do it. The cook was a brother. The speakers were all brothers. And, you know, Gary Ogden, who taught our evidence-based mentoring program, everybody volunteered. So the community really comes together around these issues, you know. So when people say black people don't stick together and all that kind of stuff, you know, it's just not true, you know.
No.
A lot of times I think maybe we just don't have a focus or a direction to go to, but we respond.
Yeah.
Martin Luther King, he didn't march alone, you know. People answer the call. Thank you. I'm going to look up, take you up on your offer. Thank you again.
Okay, right, sure. Yes, thank you again.
Well, thank you, William. So you're listening to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. Tonight, our topic is guns down, enough already. And, you know, just the thought of that title just really worked something up on the inside of me. So we have such a special, special guest with us tonight, Fatima Jewel Chandler, whose own 17-year-old nephew was killed by another youngster who was just 18 years old. And Fatima shared with us earlier that his trial was the beginning of this year, earlier this year, and he's been sentenced to life. So there are two young men's lives that have been wasted, so to speak, or lost because of, we're not really sure, but what Fatima is saying is, let's be about the business of helping these young men to have different alternatives, to have choices, and to present them with the mentors. And she has been working and has put together a fabulous, fabulous program that mentors the parents as well as the children. So, Fatima, I'm going to turn it back over to you for anything that you'd like to share.
Okay, yeah. I just want people to take a moment, too, and think about when we don't take charge of our community, these youth that lost their lives at this young age, I wonder sometime, which of them had the cure for cancer? Which of them had a cure for AIDS? Which of them have a cure for diabetes? Which one of them could have been the doctor to save your life or the life of a loved one? We'll never know. Because nobody's born without a purpose or a contribution. So when they lost their life, we lost them and we lost the contribution that they were meant to give. So if we don't get together and do something, then, you know, things are just going to keep on as they are. So I'm so proud of us when we put the word out that how many people do stand up, just like the gentleman who just called and just, you know, to give the organization his information so he could do something about it. So
I have some statistics,
yeah, if you want to hear it, but it gets pretty gruesome when you think about all the statistics. Okay, well, youth are at increase for gun violence. Black people make up only 13% of the population, but 65% were victims of gun violence in the year 2010, and that's youth between the ages of 15 and 24-year-old. A person's risk of being shot in the U.S. is greatest between the ages of 17 and 29. And death by gun violence is second only to vehicle accidents. Black youth are 3.5 more times likely to be suspended than white students. 70% of students involved in school arrests for minor and trivial youthful offenses are referred to law enforcement, as we saw in the case today, an issue came out in the news today. 70% of them are Black or Latino. 40% of students expelled from the U.S. schools each year are Black. So, they are. They truly are. And as you've heard, I'm sure a lot of people have heard this, that if you can't read by the time you're in the third grade, they're already preparing a jail cell for you. Because there's a correlation between lack of education and whether or not people are going to go to jail.
I'm still thinking on those numbers that you gave, and so what does that, what type of future or what type of hope does that give to the young people if they're a victim? In this case, truly a victim of those statistics, or that the system is set up so that they are not successful when they don't have the mentorship of a strong male presence in their life. And so that just is more reason to support and to back the work that you're doing, Jewel, with your mentoring program. Because just like William was saying, and David both, you know, we need to provide programs for the young men, because as much as women would like to think that we can do it all, it really takes a man to raise a boy. It really does. To be a successful man, a man has to do the work. And so I applaud you for stepping up to the plate, and not that, you know, you're trying to take anything away, because you haven't. You're actually adding value to the whole overall system, the issues that we're having with the system, because you brought in these powerful brothers that stood in a position to show these young boys or these young men that brothers do come together and that brothers do care about them. So I applaud you once again on what you're doing.
Well, thank you. It's a labor of love. I don't even feel like I'm doing anything that important. I wonder why I didn't do it sooner, actually, because this information has been going on for a while. But I guess the internet gave me clarity. And that's the spiritual part of it, is that, you know, when you think about organizations like Mothers Against Drug Drivers, and a whole lot of them that have sprung up out of personal tragedies, it's as if you feel that you want to give something back that wasn't there for you. But it kind of just all works in a circle, you know what I mean? And it's very fulfilling. It gives a lot of comfort and a lot of healing, too, to me and to my family. To be able to do this work, to be able to hopefully change somebody else's life or add value to theirs. So the way the Creator has set everything up, it just works to put back into what was missing for us and create a healing for us at the same time.
That's wonderful that you would look at it in that regard, and that's why the program is blessed and why you're a blessing to others, is that your whole, not your whole focus, but a large portion of what you're doing is in helping other people, the same type of situation. And that's the kind of energy that we would have in the village that you spoke of. You know, it takes a village, not just to raise a child, but it takes a village for us all to survive together. And so with having that the sense about you that you do, with how the Creator has set this up for all of us to support each other and to encourage each other, I mean, it makes so much sense that it is a simple process, and it's a process that we can all donate time and energy to when we know that there's a program out there that exists. So is your family still heavily involved in the program, or?
Well, they have found a lot of solace in talking about it when it comes around to it. They're still it gets easier. It gets easier for all of us, and thank God for that. It gets easier. But I found that in my own personal life that the only way I found to take some of my power back, because grief makes you feel so weak, you know what I mean? Like sometimes you just succumb to it and it just overtakes you and feelings are overwhelming and, you know, you're crying or whatever, however you're responding to it, it makes you feel really weak. And so this gives you your power back. So I see them using the power from it like that at this point. Where, you know, yeah, they, because it's his legacy, you know what I mean? Because it exemplifies the characteristics that we came to know about him. And so it makes us feel good. So to leave this for him, you know, nobody ever knows, Sandy, how long we're going to stay, you know?
Right.
And
right.
We expect to stay longer than 17 years, but, you know, who are we to even know or expect anything? It's just the way that it is, you know. So, yeah. So, you
but
know,
I think it's
some,
such a wonderful tribute. You know, what you're doing is such a wonderful tribute to your nephew's life, you know, and to be able to help others and to provide the mentorship that you say he had in his life that these young guys may not have, you know. I just, there's so much positive to what you're doing. I mean, it's unfortunate that his life is the reason behind the formation of the organization, but in at the same time, it's a blessing too, and so that his life was really very meaningful from that regard.
Right. Yeah, all of the above, Sandy. All of the above. So we do have that website. I probably shouldn't be sending people to it because it's not complete yet, but just know that I'm still working on it, and I never knew how to do any of these things before this happened. But the website
you're growing.
I'm growing, girl. That's why I said I'm an unlikely candidate. But I'm going to put it out there anyway. It's gunsdown.net. And to go to his Facebook, I don't have anything to do with his Facebook. This is what his friend set up. It's Maui, M-A-U-I. And then the next word is S-C-R-U-F-F-Z. And, you know, it's just an outpouring. So you really get a chance to see who Kamau was and how many people he impacted and how many people are using his energy to move on. Like, all his friends are in college now, you know, and they lean on each other, and they have this poetry slam, you know, on that date on July 27th. They do this on their own. They, you know, I'm down here in Georgia. They're up in New York, and I didn't even know about it until, you know, somebody sent me some information on Facebook. So So I want to open the door to them because they can help me with this website, at least, you know, like do some updates on it. They understand a lot better than I do how to put these things together. But when I talk to them, sometimes they're still involved in school, so they can't do much. But they do what they can, and they support each other. They had a candlelight vigil and all of that stuff. So it's been an experience and a healing process and a lesson and spiritual growing and on and on and on.
Exactly. Again, you know, we give thanks for the work that you're doing, and we appreciate you so much. Now, will people be able to contact you at the gunsdown.net? Is that how we're to contact you?
Yeah, they can do that, or I can give you my phone number right now. They can call me anytime. I don't mind putting my phone number out there. It's 678-595-7795. That's 678-595-7795. And, yes, they can still always contact me on gunsdown.net as well.
Okay, great. Thank you. And your nephew is Maui, M-A-U-I, and then that second word,
S-C-U-F-F-Z. And that's some kind of, I don't know, a word in the Urban Dictionary. They said it means down, together, dope, you know, some you know, slang kind of word. I don't really... You know, I found it on the Urban Dictionary. But Maui is one of my friends nicknamed him for Kamau. They call him Maui. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's awesome. Again, we thank you so much. I know you have a lot going on in your life, a lot of new activities that are taking place, and you've got this organization, and you're still active in so many other communities. Gatherings and community groups. So thank you for Tima Jewel Chandler for being a guest on our show tonight on Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. We appreciate you sincerely. We bless you. We keep you in our prayers for success. Reach out to us, and we'll reach out to you and be in contact with you for your upcoming event in 2016. And if there's anything that we can do to support you, just let us know.
Oh, sure. Thank you, Sandy. And I want to let you know again, I love your program.
Thank you. It's because of people like you that we can bring this to the audience so that they're learning, you know, about other situations that are going on, things that they may want to do and didn't know how and just have some questions. So it's a joint effort, and I thank you for making the show successful, Fatima. I truly, truly appreciate you. We're going to bring this show to a close. And just for you, I wanted to let you know that I do publish daily inspirational messages. It helps you to get started each day on a positive thought. That is part of what I shared at the top of the show. There was only a small section of that. If you're interested, you may go to my WordPress site and follow, and you will have them delivered to your email automatically each morning. So you, the address to go to is RevSandy.wordpress.com. It'll take you directly to my site. Sign up for it, and it's automatically delivered to your email address each morning. I'm also on Facebook on Sandy Rogers Ministries, and that is another way that you can read the daily messages. So once again, we come to the close of the show. I thank you sincerely for being a part of this event. Guns down. Enough already. Keeping African-American men alive and uplifted. What a powerful, powerful statement right there. Just keeping that in the back of your mind, keeping African-American men alive and uplifted. In itself is an affirmation. So I thank Jewel Fatima Chandler, my heart, my soul, my sister. I love you. I appreciate you so much, and we send blessings your way. So thank you, one and all, for joining me today on Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. You know, we come together, we talk candidly about positive experiences, personal development, self-discovery, and holistic wellness. When we love ourselves, we cause no harm or danger to anyone, especially ourselves. And we are at peace and harmony with all of humanity. This is your host, Sandy Rogers, and I'll see you next week, same place, same time. May you forever live in divine wellness. And a good night, y'all. Bye. Oh,